Started, Angelina, you can take it away.
Awesome. My name is Angelina Garcia. My age is 31 years old, and today is Friday, September 11th, 2020. I'm in Vallejo, California right now, and my relationship to my partner is I'm her daughter.
My name's Georgette Garcia. My age is 61. This is Friday, September the 11th, 2020. Location, Vallejo, California. And relationship to you is my daughter. I'm her mother.
There you go. Nice. All right. All right. Diving right in, where did you grow up?
San Pablo, California.
Your whole life?
Yes.
Nice. What were your siblings like?
I had seven of them, and they were all different. It was like in sections because we had the first two had their father, second two had their father, and the last three had their father. And then we have a brother that was given away at birth to a sister of my mother's that we knew that he was, you know, our brother. We always knew that. But my auntie raised him as her own because she couldn't have children. And I guess my mom's going, hey, I got, you know.
And were all those kids in the house at the same time?
No. Two were out. The oldest two were out when I was like four or five.
So growing up was really just like five kids in the house. Even though you had
Johnny and Frankie, and then me and the other two.
When you were growing up specifically, what were your mom and dad like?
Both alcoholics. My real father was an alcoholic. My stepfather was an alcoholic for years. But by the time they were 55 and 60, I think they both had quit drinking. So,
how old were you then if they were 60?
I was out already married because I don't know. See, my mom was probably 30, so I was probably 20, 22.
Interesting. And what do you think, do you attribute anything to why they stopped being alcoholics?
My mom stopped because my dad scared her. He started, hallucinating, my stepdad. And when he started hallucinating, she got scared because he would attack her. And I mean, we were there when one instance and we saw what she was talking about. That made her quit. He quit. I don't know.
Shortly after?
2 years, yeah.
Wowzers. What do you remember about your childhood? Like one memory, positive, negative, otherwise.
I can give you negative.
I mean, just one thing that probably sticks out for you as you're, 61 years old now.
Oh, well, looking back. I remember sitting in a car on the street and a lady coming out with a gun running across the street saying, don't go in there, they want to kill you. And I knew my mom and stepdad were in there. So we started to get out of the car. We had been sitting in the car for an hour, so we started. And then all of a sudden we go, whoa, cops start pulling up. We get to jump back in the car because we're kind of on the street down from the bar. We had to walk up like three cars. So we ran back to the car. Tommy comes out with my stepdad, blood all over his face. The ambulance is taking out another guy. His face is wrapped up. My mom comes out. She's got blood on her, all over her things. She takes us home and goes to the hospital, comes back because her whole breasts were beat. Tommy had almost killed a man. She tried to stop him. And, you know, his hand was, you know, he used his feet. He gave the guy like 100 stitches in his face.
With his feet?
That and a ashtray. The guy did cut Tommy's eye, and they couldn't stop him with hot grease. He had 30 grease burns. They busted it over his head. He was so bloody because they were trying to stop him from killing the man. And my mom, her whole chest was black and blue from him kicking her, she thought, let me grab his feet, you know? Yeah, it was a memory.
And when you say us kids, it was just you, Jenny, and Jimmy?
It was me, Jenny, Jimmy, and a kid named Johnny Tig that was our neighbor.
It just happened to be.
Yeah, he knew there. Yeah.
Well, I think that is a very interesting memory. Taking away from your parents' experience, I'm interested in just you as a kid. How would you describe yourself as a kid?
Oh, I don't know. Introvert. Didn't make friends easy, but it seemed like people made friends with me easy. Hmm. You know, kids would just like, you know. I don't know. No, it wasn't a hard problem. I never went up to kids trying to make friends with them. They just seemed that way. But I had older siblings, so it was kind of, they were cool. All my older siblings were cool, so maybe that's it. I thought, oh, you know, she's one of them too, you know, lives around that neighborhood. I don't know. I don't know what it was, but I was, very introvert.
Did you like school? Do you think you, like, remember liking school?
No, I hated school.
Why?
Because of the clothes I had to wear.
Oh, so not because of teachers or
school? No, it wasn't hard. It wasn't none of that. It was just, I realized I was wearing holy shoes. I realized I wore holy clothes. I didn't wear what all my friends had. Mm-hmm. I knew it. So I felt embarrassed. And a lot of high school, I hardly went because of that.
So through high school, really.
I didn't feel it in grade school, seventh, eighth grade, when kids are all, you know, boyfriend and girlfriend and up. So you kind of, that's when I went, oh, wow. I don't get dressed like they did.
What kind of student were you when you were in school? And did you ever have, like, aspirations to go to college? Like, what were your, like, idea of what was going to happen after?
Oh, pregnant and get married. And
you thought, I'm going to get pregnant, I'm going to get married.
Yeah, I mean, that's what my mom did. And you just, you know, didn't matter. Go get some little job. I could babysit. You know, never thought big. Never thought I'm smart or I could go to college. And college and a job. My mom never wanted us to get a job.
So what do you think grandma wanted me to do?
Oh, she was great with us getting pregnant, having kids, and going, you know, like she did. That was her thing, and why wouldn't it be great for us? Yeah.
Even with a community college down the street.
Yeah. And then, and her going, you know, eventually she goes to college in Berkeley, you know, to become like an accounting, you know, person.
That's so interesting, because I just feel like, you know, being around a college is different, but you were down the street and still I didn't.
Pass it up all the time. Crazy. Never talked about it, never.
Do you, I mean, still kind of thinking about school, did you ever have a teacher, like, who stood out, like a teacher that was just extra interested in you or you liked?
I did, yeah. There was one that was, I can't think of his name. It was some Jewish counselor at Richmond High. And I was in the 10th grade, and I was always being funny. Me and Brenda Schwartz, we thought we were comedians. So I was always getting kicked out in his class and stuff. And the last time, the teacher sends a note, this girl is just ignorant, she's stupid, and he was ballistic. He's like, you don't ever, he walked me back to her, you don't ever say anything like that about any student in front of everybody. And then he said, all right, we're gonna go back in that. And then he talked to me and told me, you're not stupid, don't let these people think you're stupid, you know. I mean, he just kind of, I don't know, he was a good Banducci. I think it was his last name, Banducci.
Yeah, Richmond High. Just
the counselor told me I wasn't stupid, that, you know, don't let any teacher ever say that to you. And I've been told that, even, you know, because I always thought it was, you know, I think it is true when a kid's sad, that's when they act out and they're mm-hmm. trying to be funny. Look at me, you know, I'm a goofball over here, even though I got these ugly clothes on, but I'm funny. You know, I had something. I was funny.
Right. That was your difference.
Yeah. That's what I had.
Really growing up. Yeah. Fast forwarding a little bit. Well, not too much after Richmond High, but when did you meet Dad? How did you meet him? Because you were in high school, right?
Oh, Robert lived at the corner, and he was always at the park. He knew Jimmy. He knew all of us, kind of, you know. And I asked him who he was, and he said, oh, it's my brother. I thought he was a real brother, but he's his brother-in-law. So I said, well, we were walking around, and he goes, I go, and me and Brendan comes over, and I go, hey.
So you met Dad through the neighborhood park?
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. And you thought he was someone's brother, but ended up being a brother-in-law.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, what happened? You guys went on first date, like, weeks later, days later, years later?
Yeah. A week later. And went for a ride. And he didn't say anything. Nothing. The second time, you know, we just drove.
That was your date?
That was a big date, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very romantic.
Oh, yeah.
Dad's very romantic.
Oh, he is romantic.
thinking about, you know, how long have you guys been married?
43 years.
What advice do you have for young couples or any couple, I would say, because you guys have
I think all of our problems due to the fact we were too young. He was 19. I was almost 17, you know. It's like, it was,
wait, you were almost 17 or you
when
were 17?
I met him 16. I was 16. Yeah, I got married at
okay
17.
Okay,
I was 16 and something. Yeah.
Did grandma have to sign your certificate because
You're
younger than 18?
Yeah.
That's crazy. So you said your advice would be
to not get married. Yeah.
Not to get married.
It's just, it's, you know, it's so hard to stay together. And you just don't see people staying together anymore because, God damn it, you know, it's too young. 20s is too young to get married.
Yeah, you're changing. I mean, look how different you are.
Oh, yeah.
16 to 17.
Sad because we all know those kids are the ones that are going to suffer. I've watched grandkids of mine suffer because of the split up of a family.
Yeah.
And it was because my daughters got married and had kids too young. They didn't know who they were really with or what, you know, who this guy was. I'm a baby.
Young 20s are definitely
too young.
Well, now that fast forwarding again to your life where you now have kids, what did you think you were going to, did you want more kids? And what about family? What did you think was going to happen? And do you remember like being a young 40 something year old with three kids?
I don't really remember. I don't remember going through any kind of, oh God, I got three kids. And
did you want more?
No.
Did you want less? You were like, oh, I really should have stopped at one.
yeah, pretty much. Yeah. No, I didn't want any more, but your dad wanted a boy. And so I thought, I'll try it. I said, well, I'll have a baby before you, before I'm 30. After that, forget it.
That's it. Cutting it off.
Yeah. And yeah. So he said, all right. Yeah. You're 29. So I'm like, all right.
Thinking about just family life happening, what is one at least classic family story or joke? And it could be about dad. It could be about you. It could be about anybody.
A classic joke?
Or story. As I'm thinking like, you know, dad says a lot of interesting things.
I know he does. Well, the only thing he always does, what's great is he knows that if we're making fun of it, it's out of love.
Yeah.
He don't like other people to make fun
the
of.
The classic story is that we make fun of dad, and that's our classic story. For
instead of saying hillbilly, he'll say, oh, that guy is so hilly-billy, you know.
Right.
He'll be cracking me up.
Okay, so that's what we have. We got jokes over here.
Yeah.
Nice.
There's stuff too that he thinks my whiteness is just as stupid.
More importantly,
my mama says piss up a rope. He's like, oh, how do you guys get piss up a rope? You want to make fun of my illy billy, you know?
So basically, it's not just him; it's everybody.
It's I mean, you know, he makes it.
Yeah.
Obvious.
I would say
I have some sayings and stuff that.
Yeah, that's probably my experience. I think that we make fun of each other in. Pretty much all the time, whether it's Cheetah, Duran,
right, we all do.
That's probably what we've taken. And it makes sense if that's what got you through your entire adolescence and childhood. And now it just manifests when you're older. It makes sense that that's also
what comedy is a big thing. Laughing is a big thing.
Right. Especially even now, right? With COVID, it's like, what can we laugh about? Times feel a little dark right now.
Yeah. No, and it's true. It's like, gosh.
Okay. Learning a lot. This is kind of a funner question, but if you could interview someone who's not a celebrity, who would it be?
Not a celebrity. Oh, I don't know. My mom, I guess. You know, I would say my mom. Just because we had unfinished stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and I'd like to interview her. And I'd ask her questions that why didn't I think when they were alive, you know?
Yeah, oh, for sure.
Think, oh, God, when they're alive, I should have asked this, that. And then... you know, all of a sudden, time's up.
What's like two questions you would ask?
Two. One, who was my brother's real dad? Both. Everybody wants to know. Nobody.
That's a good question.
And is that Bible stolen?
What Bible?
The Bible. She came back when her mother died. She went back to Nebraska. And her and Lolly are on the phone. Lolly's in my living room, my mom. And she's telling her... somebody on the phone, like, oh my God, yeah, I don't know what happened. They said they saw somebody driving away and they took the Bible, and the Bible supposedly had my grandmother's updated will in it.
So it was more than just the Bible.
They couldn't find the Bible. And then all of a sudden, right before my mom's dying, maybe 5 years, 4 years before, she tells me she's got it.
So when that initially happened, when you heard your mom and Lolly talking, how old were you? 20s, 30s, 40s? I mean,
no, God, 15, 14.
Okay, so you were a teenager, overheard this, fast forward to your 50s, and then you're like, wait.
How'd you get this Bible?
But is this the Bible that you talked about over 35 years ago?
I didn't say that. I thought that was stolen out of your mom's house.
Uh-huh. And what'd she say?
It just looks at me and go, no.
It doesn't say anything else.
Nothing.
And you're
I knew, you know,
There's something there.
There's something there. But I just, at the time, there was Tommy and people, and I was like, I'm going to wait. And I never did ask again.
You never followed up. You're like, now.
And it bugs me. It's like, you know. But I could call, you know, there are people from Nebraska.
I know, but it's different to ask the person.
Yeah, hey, you know, by the way, you want to know my mom stole the Bible? I mean, come on, I don't want to say that, but.
Right. Also very.
I have the Bible, family
difficult
Bible.
To.
It's like a, you know, 100-year-old Bible, and it's up in there. You need to take it.
I will take it, and I hope to not steal it. similarly,
maybe
kind of.
You should do that and pass on that.
Yeah, maybe I just make it a family tradition.
Right.
And then that's exactly what we'll do.
That's right.
I mean, I should get it. Just to the second question I have is more fun. That the kind of funner questions is like, if your family was in a movie, who would play you and Dad?
Oh, I would have Machete play your daddy.
Interesting.
And then me, it's got to be some red freckle-faced Reba or something.
Okay, first of all, the idea of Machete and Reba McEntire being in a relationship is very funny. So, I mean, I definitely think you're aiming towards the comedy.
Well, you know it would be a comedy, so.
Yeah, it would have to be a comedy at this point.
Well, I know my life would be. Come on now.
Yeah.
All right.
Interesting. Yeah. Is there anything that you never told me but want to tell me?
Thing that I never told you. No, I'm pretty open. I'm never trying to hide anything. I mean, everything that's happened between our lives, you guys know about. You know, drugs, anything we tried, did, you know, we, you know.
Very transparent.
Very transparent. Because, I mean, I don't know. It's like, I like people to watch and learn.
Yeah.
And I want my kids to watch and learn. I mean, I did. I grew up with drug addicts, heroin addicts at Davis Park. And I kept saying, I don't want to be like that. You know, and I'm sure my sister, like Jenny, saying, I don't want to be like Cuckoo and Jesse and all the guys that are on heroin. Because you watched and learned.
Yeah.
But then, and when she's in her 35 years old, she goes and tries heroin. And I'm thinking, what happened to watch and learn?
Yeah.
It doesn't always happen when you get depressed. And, you know, she felt sorry for her life. And, oh, God, poor me. Woe is me. Let me try heroin. I mean, really, that's how it goes. And that's how it goes.
Yeah.
You start giving up on life. You start doing all kinds of drugs and don't care. And this, you know, shit happens. You know, but I mean, I just watched and learned.
Yeah. I would say the same.
Some people watch.
Yeah. Even growing up with older siblings and,
A
transparent family. I would say that's a theme of like, oh, I don't want that. Right.
You would think.
I might not know what my goals and dreams are, you know, at 15, but I definitely know what that one.
And you don't get to try heroin. Who told you that shit? They lie.
If you're around it and you've seen that or you've at least heard about it, hopefully you can make that clear that it. Yeah,
she
you shouldn't.
Lived with one, you know?
Yeah, it doesn't even matter at this point, right? Everybody has their own choices.
Yeah.
No matter how persuasive you are, no matter what your friend group is.
Yeah, no, you can't beg or stop or, you know, I mean, it's choices she'll make to quit, to start. Yeah.
Thinking about Jenny, just because you said that, is there anything, what's the thing that you miss most about her now that she's passed?
I don't know. I think just her, like, she still had that childlike, I believe in things.
Yeah.
I don't believe a shit no more. And she always.
Yeah, to the day she died, still very hopeful, still very optimistic. But, like, such, like you said, it's almost childlike optimism because, you know, the world was crumbling around her and she still.
No, she didn't She didn't get it, didn't care, wasn't going to let nobody take care of her. You know,
having a different relationship, not as intimate as yours, you know, obviously barely having a lot of interaction.
Yeah.
I think I miss also just her jolliness, happiness that like everything's going to be all right. Kind of like attitude.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did. If there's anything that you could say to her now that it's been, you know, weeks, still fresh, several weeks, what would you say? Miss you. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I think we said
everything you need to say.
Yeah.
Well, that's nice. That's a nice, I mean,
yeah,
it's
no,
sad.
That was
the
good part. I didn't get to see her for the last 4 months because of COVID. Mm-hmm. I didn't get to go to her, you know.
Yeah.
But we had time before.
Yeah, quite a bit of time.
Which was good. Yeah, because, I mean, we took her to all her appointments and, you know.
Had those experiences, yeah. Especially having grown up with my aunt living in a different state.
Oh, yeah.
Having her back in California for the last year and a half was kind of nice, you know, even
yeah.
just for you to be able to see her,
right.
you know, weekly
right.
versus like phone calls, even though phone calls are fine.
Right.
You know, something about
going
to the store.
Right.
Let me take you to the store. Let's go
yeah.
to the appointment. Let's do
That's,
that type of stuff.
Yeah. Well, because you get to bullshit a lot, you know, in the
yeah.
car, taking her to the appointments, or, you know, we drive all the way to SAC and then we drive another 40 minutes back, you know, to take her to appointment. But it was the time you get to talk.
Yeah.
You know, in the car and then waiting for the appointments and while she's getting chemo, you just get to talk, you know.
Yeah.
So it was good. I was, you know, I think I'm less upset about her death.
Just sad.
Yeah, just sad she's not here, but I'm not upset that, you know, the way she went. She went her terms. She was stubborn to the end. She just,
yeah,
that's the way it is. I'm this way, you know.
Yeah, but I'm going to be.
She didn't want nobody to feel sorry for her at all.
Yeah.
You know, it was weird. Yeah.
How would you, how does, you know, dealing with death more than ever, you know, kind of in the last, for sure, decade of your life, how does that affect how you want to be remembered or how you want to go? Have you thought about?
No, I mean, to me, it doesn't matter. I mean, because you become pictures and memories,
mm-hmm.
and then you finally fade out. Somebody's going to throw that picture away that you loved of your mother. You know, I mean, I know that.
Mm-hmm.
I know that now. So it's like, we're nothing but memories, you know, on earth.
We're temporary.
Yeah, temporary. And we're just nothing but memories and photos to people. And then eventually those memorable photos get thrown away by generation, not knowing who those people are, not caring.
Right. We don't know who our seven grandpas up were.
Right.
You know,
where are those photos?
Yeah. Even right where
they're
are
gone.
They?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I just
and because we had photos, you know, my mother's mother had photos of her parents in Europe. We're in LA.
Yeah,
you know, but
that's crazy.
Yeah, but no, I realized that. But I thought, what do I want them to remember? Blah blah blah. Well, it doesn't matter because you may remember it, and then you pass it on to these stories. You know,
mm-hmm.
you pass it on to, you know, Duran, and then Duran. What if Duran don't have a kid? It just stops. You know, I mean, it just not it, to me, it's not important.
Yeah, no, that's a good way to think about it.
Yeah.
Of like what's
it's not important.
Important.
It's like
important.
Time now, you do what you can. You
what
know?
Would you say is important now that you're over 60?
Family. I mean, you know, that's just it. My circle, my family, you know.
Your tribe.
Yeah, my circle. It's not like my whole family, because hell, your dad's got 14, I got, you know, 8. We have a lot of cousins. Do you guys know hardly any of your cousins? No.
Well, when there's over 50, it's kinda hard to keep
track. Yes. That's what I'm talking about. We don't have any family reunions.
Yeah.
You know?
What about family that you feel like is the most important? Like just having it, like what?
Helping each other. Like
okay.
we do. You know what I mean? You guys helped us. We help you guys.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just.
Having that.
You have that backup.
Mm-hmm.
As long as my mom was alive, I was not afraid of not anything. Because I knew if something goes wrong, I can move back in with my mother.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's
how
I feel.
I just
yeah.
knew. And don't you just know
yeah.
that? You know that there's always a room there.
And
so
even if there's not a room,
up,
there's a
yeah,
floor.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, there is a peace of mind that comes
yeah.
with.
When my mom passed, I was like, Jerry, it's us. With, you know, with nothing happens. It's just us.
On top of mourning the death of your mom. It's also
yeah.
realities got to start coming
yeah.
towards you of,
yeah.
oh, this is our new reality. Is that we're the end of the line here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting. But, yeah.
See, your grandson's already upset about it.
Hey.
Yeah, no, I think those are all my questions. I don't know if there's
anything else. No.
Yeah.
No, you already got me crying, laughing, and everything. What's that? What? Is that it then? You have to tell the lady.
Her name is Courtney, Mom.
Okay, sorry. Courtney! Oh, you can hear us, Courtney? Oh, girl, I didn't miss
you. What do you think she was
doing? Oh, girl, I'm glad I didn't fart. No, I'm just kidding.
Awesome. Well, I think I appreciate you doing something that you were nervous about, and hopefully somebody from 100 years from now finds it somewhere.
Yeah, really. Yeah.
Learn something about us.